Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. How long has it been since you felt happy? I mean, just really happy and filled with joy. If you're not happy, it may be because you are gazing into the mirrors of life made by moral midgets. Images of life are being portrayed to the peoples of the Western world that are void of the substance of real joy and happiness. More and more, the so-called research relating to the origin of the universe and humankind would have us believe that human beings are the measure of all things. That this life is it. Get all you can get, and get it now. We are born into a world of images that require no thinking as to what our view of life will be or should be. Children witness an unending parade of images and behaviors that are absorbed into their consciousness without ever being taught how to think and evaluate the source of real joy and happiness. We place ourselves in figurative concentration camps of the mind that prevent us from seeing the real purpose of human existence when we conform to their vision of what life is all about. We can break the chains that bind our minds and spirits and be set free indeed. You can be set free from fear, worry, anxiety, and guilt when you come to understand why you were born. Jesus states, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Solomon writes in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Virtually all of the world's religions teach their adherents to control their thoughts. As one author writes, "Our minds are altars, and our thoughts are offerings to God." Thought is a precursor of how we feel and how we act. As a proverb goes, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap character. Character is what you really are. Reputation is what people think you are. So your character comes to be of what you think, what you act on, and what you practice. So thinking is so very, very vitally important. It's no wonder that Solomon wrote what he wrote, that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Even secular writers, even those who don't even really believe in God, they understand the power of controlling our thoughts and our emotions. Thoreau writes in Walden, quote, "I know of no more encouraging fact than the unquestionable ability of man to elevate his life by conscious endeavor. It is something to carve a statue, but it is far more glorious to carve the very atmosphere and medium through which we look, which morally we can do. Every man is tasked to make his life, even in its details, worthy of the contemplation of his most elevated and critical hour." Are you thinking on those things that are above, those things that are elevated, or are you gripped by fear, worry, anxiety, and guilt? Are you looking into the mirror of moral midgets? The ability and power to discipline our minds is one of the greatest gifts that God gives to human beings. You can be in the darkest dungeon and suffering the greatest torture that mere mortals can conceive, and yet your mind has the power to think and focus on things that are eternal. In other words, no one can truly put you in prison of the mind, unless you let them do it, unless you willingly give yourself over to it through some kind of mind-altering experience, or that you give sway to Satan the devil and you begin to think continually on those things that are negative. The awesome power, the great gift that God has given us to control our thoughts and our emotions is summarized in Proverbs 16, verse 32. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit is greater than he that takes a city." This shows us clearly that God gave us the power to control our emotions and thoughts. To be in control of our mental faculties is truly liberating. No person or power can control your mind unless you permit them to do so, unless you give yourself over to that. One of the things that's controlling the minds of so many of our people are today are the mind-altering drugs. We find meth labs all over the United States of America. We find drugs streaming into America and finding its way onto the streets and into the stomachs and the blood of our youth, especially across the land. And then we see the mind-altering consequences that they pay for ingesting these terrible mind-altering drugs. When we tune out the pathetic media image makers and thought-controlled scoundrels of this world and learn to think for ourselves, they lose their ability to plant their destructive seeds in the seed of our consciousness. When will we ever wake up to that fact, that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? And you can learn to control your thoughts, and you can think on things that are higher than any man can conceive. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so much higher are my thoughts than your thoughts. And you can learn to think on that level because God has given us His inspired Word, His thoughts. And He has also prescribed for us the kinds of actions that will result in happy, harmonious living. The thought merchants of this world would have you believe that happiness and joy can only be achieved by throwing off all conventions that tend to inhibit the natural urges of a mind void of the knowledge of God. There is no better way to control people than to offer them a pseudo-freedom that appeals to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This kind of appeal is what the advertising world is made of, trying to dream up more and more clever kind of commercials that appeal to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the two great goals now, the two great gods that people worship at, are at the feet of the sex industry and then the great desire for money, for power, and for riches. There is no better way, once again, than to offer people a pseudo-freedom that appeals to these things. The Apostle Peter describes his offer of freedom and its result in 2 Peter 2:17. This offer of freedom really stems from Satan the devil. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Yes, you become the servant of whomever you yield yourselves servants to obey. So many people now are the servants of methamphetamines or some other drug, some other mind-altering drug. So many are addicted to alcohol. So many are addicted to pornography and other aberrant behaviors. And they yield themselves servants to obey these things. And though they may feel like they are happy and they may feel like that they are really experiencing, quote, the real world, their lives, when you really look at it, are miserable and they're losing out on everything that counts in life. It is so amazing how accurately the Bible describes the blindness that Satan, the devil, the prince of the power of the air, has foisted off on humankind. Listen to how the Apostle Paul describes this phenomenon. But if our gospel is being hidden, and of course the real truth of God is hidden almost every day because people want to turn a deaf ear to the true gospel, to the real things. They want people to speak smooth things. They want the smooth things spoken. They want the easy way out. They want to think that if they just think good thoughts. What I'm talking about here today is not just thinking good thoughts, but there is a foundation, a sure foundation, and an anchor of our being that we can turn to, and we can meditate on what He says, and thus transform our thinking into that kind of thinking that will lead us to a more peaceful, joyous, harmonious, and happy life. So Paul writes, if our gospel is being hidden, it is being hidden to them that are being lost, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And the god of this world is Satan the devil, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Are you blinded to the glorious gospel of God? Will you listen to the glorious gospel of God? Would you open the pages of your Bible and see for yourself what God is really saying to you? If you really want to have love, joy, and peace, and to have the fruits of the Spirit of God, then you have to open the pages of your Bible and get on your knees and begin to cry out to God and ask Him for help. He can make your life into a new life. You can become a new creation. Satan is the spirit of the power of the air who now works in the children of disobedience, and he wants you to focus on the here and now. He wants you to think that the drugs you're taking, the alcohol that you're on, or whatever else you're engaging in that is keeping you from viewing the real world, the true world, the spiritual world, the world that God would have you to think on, He wants you to stay in a world that is not real. He wants you to think on the negative. He wants to destroy you. He wants you to think in the here and now. He knows that He has but a short time. He knows that this world is passing away. This world is not going to last forever. Oh, it's continued for several thousand years, and the earth itself and the universe has perhaps been here for billions of years. But God is not going to let this order in this present evil age last forever. He is going to bring humankind into judgment. And you need to really understand how you can transform your life, how you can become a new creation. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you really want to gain control of your life and become a new person, if you want to be free of fear, worry, anxiety, and guilt, if you want to come out of the doldrums of depression, you can. All you have to do is start seeking God, and you can begin to seek God this very instant. You can fall on your knees at this moment and cry out to God. We would like to help you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All you have to do to receive our free literature, which will help you learn more about why you were born, why you're here on the earth, and how you can really become a new creation, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number and request the booklet, What is Your Destiny and the Road to Eternal Life? These two booklets will help you change your life. You can be free from fear, worry, anxiety. You can be free from the dogmas and the superstitions and the ignorances that are out there in this world. You can know the truth, and the truth can set you free. All you have to do to receive these two free booklets, What is Your Destiny and The Road to Eternal Life, is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614, and just request the free booklets. And now back to World News and Prophecy. We have seen in the first segment of our program that Satan, the devil, and his agents, and the people of this world who don't really believe in God, want to control your thinking. They want your life to be filled with the here and now. They want you to focus on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the advertising world pitches its message toward fulfilling those desires, really training you to covet those things that you really don't need. The commercial world depends upon the consumer consuming more and more, and in effect, enjoying it less and less. Here is how the Apostle John describes his present evil age. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Yes, when you can get a people to come to the point that they believe that we only have this 70 or 80 years here in the flesh, and that's all there is to human existence, you can do almost anything you want to do with them. If there is no God, and if there's no life hereafter, then what is the point of human existence? So instead of letting the world determine what we think and therefore feel, God has given us the power to become a new creation that is not conformed to the image of this world. by learning to meditate on the things that are truly real and eternal. Remember, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We can be equipped with the greatest spiritual weapon of all, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the kind of power and understanding that comes from meditating on the law of God. This kind of power and understanding is described by King David in Psalm 119, verses 97 through 100, and for that matter, the entire psalm. If you want a real experience, if you want to really begin to change your life around, then go get your Bible and open it up to Psalm 119 and get on your knees and begin to cry out to God. And all those action verbs and requests that David has there in that psalm, begin to make that your prayer and your concern. And you will see that your life turn around so dramatically that you will not believe it. In Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how love I your law. This is in the Bible, and yet we have ministers today who are preaching that the law of God is done away with. Paul describes the law of God in Romans chapter 7, verses 10 through 14, is just and good and holy. And he says that the law is spiritual, but he, on the other hand, has a carnal mind that is enmity toward the law of God. But you can begin to have the very mind of Christ that serves the perfect, immutable, spiritual law of God. The law of God is perfect. It restores the soul. So David says, oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. As mentioned above, meditating on the Word of God is a step toward equipping yourselves with a kind of spiritual weapons that will enable you to control your thoughts and focus on the things that are eternal. Whether you realize it or not, you're engaged in a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. The stakes are high, and you will either learn to stand and win the battle, or you will be consumed by the destroyer. The Apostle Paul describes this warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. Yes, Satan the devil does walk around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There are spiritual battles being waged, and one of the great spiritual battles is for your mind. Are you going to think on the things of this life and only about yourself, or are you going to think about the things of God and be set free from the things that so easily beset us at the present time? Paul goes on to say, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. In view of the fact that you're involved in spiritual warfare, you need spiritual weapons if you're going to have a chance in this present evil age. So put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now is the time to stand up and to be counted. Having your loins girt about with truth, the Word of God is truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, that is, that you are doing the commandments of God, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You want to see the gospel sent to all the nations of the world. You want to see all humankind truly liberated. They'll never, ever be liberated through a political or military process. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan. How can you quench the fiery darts of Satan with a shield of faith? Because if you know God, and know He who has promised is faithful, and that He who has promised cannot fail and cannot lie, you will come to understand that no matter what obstacles that Satan throws in your path, that you can be more than overcomers through Him who loved you and gave Himself for you. So if you put on that shield of faith, all of Satan's fiery darts will just fall harmlessly to the side. He will not be able to penetrate your mind. and take the helmet of salvation. And the helmet of salvation, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:8, is hope. Hope should permeate your mind. Hope has to do with the big picture of why you are born, why you're here on the earth. That we have hope in this life, we're of all men most miserable. There is another life that is going to come, and you can be there. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. These spiritual weapons will equip you to stand against any obstacle that Satan can throw in your path. Believe it or not, one of the greatest obstacles to true joy and happiness centers on the fact that Satan and his agents have planted so many wrong thoughts and images in our minds that we are oftentimes our own worst enemy. How so? By the vain imaginations that run around in our head, causing us to think and behave in ways that are destructive to our total well-being. Satan wants you to think that this life is hopeless. Satan wants you to think that you are no good. And even though he's the author of sin, he wants you to think that you are the biggest sinner that ever lived, and there's no way that God could ever extend mercy to you. And all of this is not true. It is diametrically opposite to what God has promised. So people have lost sight of the true purpose of human existence. Thus their lives seem meaningless. We can put on the whole armor of God. We can, just as we read from Ephesians chapter 6, that whole armor of God. We can have power to cast out vain imaginations. Note what the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not just fleshly, but mighty through God. They're spiritual weapons to the pulling down of strongholds. What strongholds? Those things that come upon the mind, that grip your mind, that actually put you into a concentration camp of the mind, holding your mind in chains of hopelessness and despair. All of this can be defeated. Paul goes on to say, casting down imaginations, these thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. He says, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, cast it down, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience. That is, you will come to the point that you hate evil and you hate evil thoughts, and you won't want to do those things because you are so filled with the love of God and with the Word of God, because you have been meditating it, and you have been you're able to come to the point that David did. Oh, how love I your law, it is my meditation all the day. All of these feelings that people have of hopelessness and despair can be defeated when we come to understand what is the purpose of human existence. Life will take on intrinsic meaning when we come to understand God's great purpose for our lives, and as we begin to fulfill that great purpose in our lives. We need to ask, why was I born? And what was I born to do? What does God want me to do? Man is not the measure of all things. No matter what happens on earth, God is still who He says He is, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We see a world in which the very fabric of what constitutes a civil society is being ripped apart. The two great commandments, Jesus Christ stated these two great commandments when they tried to trick Him by asking Him, Master, what are the greatest point of the law? And Christ said, He quoted these two great commandments. Jesus said unto them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. See, he who would come to God must first of all believe that He is, Hebrews 11:6, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God always has our first interest at heart. So you have to come to believe that God exists, and you have to place Him first, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. When human consciousness becomes so deceived as to believe that life is not precious, and they lose sight of the fact that we have to love one's neighbor in order to love God. We are on the verge of human genocide. When people begin to blow one another up in the name of God and religion, they have lost the very sight of the two great commandments, and the very fabric of civilization will unravel just as surely as you pull a string and see a twine and a ball of twine unwind as it goes rolling away and comes down to nothingness. Don't be deceived by the spin doctors of the day. This world is not headed toward a new age of democracy and freedom that will bring peace and prosperity to this world. There is only one way to peace and lasting joy and happiness, and that way is revealed in the pages of your Bible. Now is the time to look beyond man and focus on the things that are eternal. The Apostle Paul admonishes us to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For we are dead to sin, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Yes, God is going to send Jesus Christ back to this earth, and judgment is going to come upon this earth. Yes, the God of judgment is going to come. At the present time, God is giving humankind time and space. God is long-suffering, merciful, not willing that any should perish. Paul further admonishes us, and here to a large degree is the bottom line for us today. Paul writes in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." But so many people today are not rejoicing. They're just thinking on the evil as they see the fabric of our society unravel and the two great commandments treading under their feet. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Yes, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can change your way of thinking about God, yourself, and the world, and all that's therein, and you can begin today. And be sure to be tuned to this same station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, What is Your Destiny and the Road to Eternal Life, all you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that number is 1-888-886-5614. Be sure to be tuned to this station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy.